This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Students across the country are protesting Israel's war in Gaza, and many colleges are bringing in police to respond to demonstrations. In New Hampshire, police arrested over 100 people on Wednesday at Palestinian solidarity protests on the Dartmouth College and UNH campuses. I'm joined now by NHPR's Olivia Richardson, who is at Dartmouth, and the Boston Globe's Stephen Porter, who was at UNH during those protests. Thank you both for being here this morning.
Thank you.
First, what are protesters demanding from their schools? Olivia, I want to start with you. Let's go to Dartmouth. What are they demanding?
So there were a number of demands for Dartmouth students on that night. On one hand, some of the graduate students are part of a union, and they were looking for the college to accept the terms of their bargain. But other students who were participating in the protest also wanted the college to divest from the endowment, from their endowment from Israel, something they've been protesting on the campus before. They also were continuing to ask the university to drop charges against Kevin Engel and Rowan Wade that were arrested at another pro-Palestinian event last year.
Now, Stephen, what did organizers tell you about their plan for the protest at UNH?
Yeah, I spoke with Joshua Trombley, the president of the UNH Graduate Student Senate. His name was on the permit for Wednesday night's demonstration. And he said his plan for the event was to really serve as a liaison or mediator between the people in the encampment and the university officials to initiate negotiations. And he said the protesters wanted UNH to divest from Israeli companies, weapons manufacturers, and other companies that are profiting from Israel's military campaign in Gaza. And he said even if the money couldn't be moved immediately, they wanted a commitment that the university would start that process of divesting. Had that commitment happened, then perhaps the encampment could have been taken down voluntarily. But university officials refused to initiate the negotiation as far as he was concerned.
Now, both protests were planned in advance. The schools did have notice. State and local police were deployed. They were called in to those demonstrations ahead of time, some wearing riot gear. Stephen, did UNH officials tell you why they brought in such a strong police response to those protests?
Yeah, so the UNH police chief told me that the permit for this event was really similar to seven others in recent months, and he had no reason to expect that this protest would be different from the prior ones. But at the same time, it's clear that UNH officials were well aware of what has happened on other campuses and were bracing for confrontation. And UNH really drew a hard line on tents. University policies prohibit camping overnight, so as soon as demonstrators referred to their setup as an encampment and refused police orders to take their tents down, that's when the permit got revoked, the dispersal order, and UNH brought in law enforcement to clear the plaza.
How many people were arrested as part of that protest at UNH?
At UNH, there were 12 arrests. 10 of them were identified as students, and 2 were identified as not affiliated with the university.
And do we know who those 2 people were?
I do have the list of names. I don't have them offhand, though.
Now, what about the situation at Dartmouth, Olivia? What did school officials have to say about the planned police presence there?
Yeah, Dartmouth iterated before the planned rallies and protests that they are open to students using free speech, but they referred to their policy stating that the green where the protest took place had a time limit on gatherings and that they don't allow encampments either, which is when they were erected on campus. That's when campus security and police started enforcing student members and community members to leave the green. They arrested students on trespassing charges and resisting arrest, and multiple police agencies were called to ensure the community's safety, including state police, but faculty and staff have responded that they disagree on whether or not riot gear and state police were necessary to keep the campus safe.
And I understand there's 89 arrests in total?
Yes.
In Hanover?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, NHPR's Todd Bookman and Kate Dario spent some time talking with students from both colleges yesterday. Here's some of what they are able to hear from students.
I'm with the UNHPSC, which is Palestine Solidarity Coalition. So what I saw was we had an event planned, and we went to set up an encampment, right? And what we saw was instant rapid police presence, right? We kind of anticipated there'd be cops there, right? But we didn't expect it to be nearly as rapid.
It looked to be pretty violent and kind of uncalled for from what I saw, and that there was a heavy police presence that wasn't necessarily needed.
The thing about like the protests is it just makes me uneasy. I like a peaceful campus. I like to see that, just even though like I don't have a strong opinion on like either side or anything, just gives me anxiety like watching all that or Like, I just want to see this all end and all that. I don't want to see any more, like, protests or anything like that.
I think everyone has a right to, and they definitely should. When people stop talking, bad things happen. I did hear that a lot of people got a little too aggressive, and they were told to leave, and that they were exceeding what they were permitted to do. So I think it was the right response.
Do you think the protests will continue here? Or?
I think they should. Everyone should keep talking about how they feel, and it's important.
I'm kind of excited for the way that our campus atmosphere is going to change, because I think there's definitely a bit of like a Dartmouth bubble where like it's really easy to feel kind of out of touch and like it's easy to kind of ignore what's going on in the world. But I think what happened last night like made it, it like kind of forced everyone to acknowledge it.
Voices there from the campus of UNH and Dartmouth College in Hanover. Let's turn back to NHPR's Olivia Richardson and the Boston Globe's Stephen Porter. Stephen, what are you hearing about how these arrests have affected students and faculty on campus?
Yeah, I spoke with several students who were not involved in the encampment or the demonstration, but who witnessed the arrests, and they were really uncomfortable with the swiftness and forcefulness with which police clamped down. One who declined to give her last name mentioned that she, you know, was kind of not convinced that tents were really the problem here. So I think there is a sense of incredulity among some that the encampment alone was really the issue here.
Are some students upset? Are they upset by the protests? Are they upset by not only police presence, but just the dismay as they get towards graduation and ceremonies?
There were certainly counter-protesters there who were unpleased, displeased with what they were seeing and wanted things to return to normal. I know the police chief mentioned that there was a student who was graduating and was attempting to have their graduation photos taken in front of Thompson Hall and was not able to do so because of everything that was transpiring. So I do think that there's this desire for normalcy that we heard from some of the audio that you played as well at UNH.
Olivia, faculty members and student journalists were some of the people that were arrested at Dartmouth Wednesday night. What has it been like for them?
So first of all, I guess many faculty members and community are upset at the school's response. Yesterday, faculty and students gathered on the green. Some professors urged other faculty members to sign a petition calling for an emergency meeting of the Journal Factory to talk about the excessive use of force by police. One professor that was arrested, Annalise Orlick, wrote on X, formerly Twitter, that she felt police were, quote, brutal in her arrest. And many professors also gathered and expressed that their feelings of disgust, and they were also horrified by the events, and many felt that what happened was not reasonable or necessary. And then two student journalists were also arrested at the Dartmouth, and the Dartmouth editorial wrote that they wanted the charges dropped against the students and that the school should feel embarrassed because the arrests go against the university's statement of that the campus holds free speech rights.
And what is the university saying about those demands?
They haven't fully responded yet. They are looking to have the professor reinstated on campus. Part of her arrest charges so that she can't be back on campus. So they're hoping to get her back on in teaching. But yeah.
Now, we've seen other universities across the country handle these protests very differently. A strong police presence continues at Columbia University in New York City. Police say they could be there through mid-May, in fact. In Rhode Island, Brown University made a deal with protesters to hold a vote on divestment from Israel later this year, and protesters ended their encampment on campus. Very different outcome than we've seen across the country. So how are officials at Dartmouth responding to protesters' demands about the demonstration this week, and specifically the demands of divestment, Olivia?
So Dartmouth reiterated that there's a process to consider whether the university should divest and the endowment, or that the endowment is not a political tool. So divesting from Israel, they said, could affect free speech. Particularly, they said it could, quote, silence academic debate. So it's not something that they're going to jump into right away. They're still, if they do it, it's a process. And they also have not made any notion on whether they're going to drop charges against Roe Wade and Kevin Engel yet either.
Okay. Now, what about at UNH, Stephen? What is that university saying about divestment?
Yeah, so the UNH president, James Dean, really focused his message the day after the protests on ensuring that the campus remains a place for multiple viewpoints and free speech. Hasn't really weighed in directly, as far as I'm aware, on the actual demands of these protesters. But his message really focused on ensuring that People, including those from outside the university community, are not able to bring what he described as an agenda antithetical to student success and well-being. So he really focused on ensuring that the campus community is a place where multiple viewpoints can be expressed.
Now, what are you watching for next as students continue to organize, not only here in New Hampshire, but across the country? I want to start with you, Olivia.
So with Dartmouth, their student union is still trying to get the university to accept their proposal, and they're actually going to be hearing that today. So if they do accept it, they would end their strike. But if they don't, there could be a longer strike for them. But we're also looking at whether or not Dartmouth drops the charges against the two student journalists, again, Kevin Engel and Roland Wade. And so it's just maybe looking at what are the outpacks or impacts of what these protests have done and the police response.
Mm-hmm. And do we know of any other protests that are planned?
Not as of yet for me.
Yeah. Stephen, I want to ask you the same questions. What are you watching for next as students continue to organize? Are there other demonstrations planned?
I don't know of any other demonstrations planned at this time, but I think with, graduation being about 2 weeks away for a lot of students, I think that this is a period of time where we could see potentially things ramp up or go away. And so I think that's kind of a big open question on this campus at UNH and at other campuses about, are we near the end of this storyline, or perhaps is this something that's going to become a bigger story moving forward? And of course, with the 12 arrests that we had at UNH, those cases will work their way through the system as well.
And we'll be hearing more about that from both of you, I'm sure. Olivia Richardson is a reporter for NHPR. Stephen Porter is a reporter for the Boston Globe. Thank you both for being here this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find their reporting, by the way, on nhpr.org and bostonglobe.com/New Hampshire. And we're here next Friday with another news recap. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is NHPR.